Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop, the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. My name is Emily Collin.
I'm Laura Jolly.
And we've got a very big day with the Aussie squad to take on New Zealand in March this year, being announced today. And in very exciting news, we're going to chat to Australian head coach Matthew Mott all about it. But first, LJ, tell us who's in the squad.
So yes, 17 players in this extended squad for New Zealand, led by Meg Lanning, the captain, and Rachel Haynes, the vice-captain. Darcy Brown comes into her first Australian squad alongside Nicola Carey, another first-timer with Hannah Darlington, Ash Gardner, Elisa Healy and Jess Johnson.
And then we've got Talia McGrath, Sophie Molyneux in, Beth Mooney, Elise Perry, Megan Shute, Annabelle Sutherland, Belinda Vakariwa, Taylor Vlemmick is back and Georgia Wareham.
So that's four changes from the 18-player squad that played New Zealand here in Australia last September. Newcomers, of course, are Darlington and Darcy Brown. And absent from that squad is Maitland Brown, still overcoming that hamstring injury from the WBBL. Phyllisa Kimmins is taking some time away from the game. And Aaron Burns and Molly Strano have been omitted.
Is Coach Matthew Mott to talk us all through it. And it's an exciting day today with the Australian squad to travel to New Zealand in March for three T20s and three ODIs being named today. And we are lucky enough to now be joined on The Scoop by Australian head coach Matthew Mott, who's here to talk us all through it. Motty, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Morning, Emily. Morning, LJ. How are you guys?
Super good.
So we've got two new faces in the squad that was named today, Hannah Darlington and Darcy Brown, who I'm sure plenty of our listeners will be familiar with from their performances in the WBBL. Let's start with Hannah. What impressed you and the fellow selectors about her?
Well, I think she's been on the radar for a long time, Hannah, and she obviously had a fantastic WBBL. I think what the selectors really liked the most was her composure under pressure. I think it's probably a similar type role what Delisa Kimmins has played for us in the past in T20 cricket, someone who can bowl, you know, good stump to stump, knows their game and, can adapt to when we're under fire a little bit. So her temperament and composure were standouts. She's a good all-round player as well. She's got a little bit with the bat and a solid fielder as well. So I think she brings a lot to that particular T20 side of things. She's a young player on the rise and we wanted to reward her performances there and have a good look at her in what is pretty much an extended squad.
Yeah, for sure. It's very exciting. And just for those fans who might have been expecting to see Delisa Kimmins in the squad, she's taking an extended break from the game. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I've been in contact with DK quite a bit lately and, yeah, she just needs some time out to refresh and recalibrate. So we wish her all the best for that. But she's going pretty well.
That's good to hear. And so what about Darcy? She's just 17 years old and as we saw in the WBBL with the strikers, she bowls quick.
Yeah, she does. She's an exciting prospect. I think she's got a happy knack of knocking over the top order as well. And, she bowled some beautiful spells throughout there. She's looked good again in the WNCL. She's probably one there that's, we've had Taylor Vlemmick in the last couple of years that have come in and shaken the game up a little bit. And we think she's someone very similar. So swings the ball at good pace, looks a natural athlete. So we're excited to take her along. I spoke to her yesterday and she's very excited, obviously. But another one who's been certainly on the selectors' radar for a while and is rewarded with her performances.
And we saw during the WBBL, Darcy's just 17 and she was doing her high school exams in the hub. Hannah's only 19 and has been named vice-captain of New South Wales. These girls just seem so mature and level-headed for their age.
Yeah, I think there's a real crop of young players coming through that are watching a lot of cricket now. I think they're getting exposed at a young age to the game and they fall in love with it and they're watching a lot of cricket. So they're seeing the cricket smarts and the craft that's involved. I think that's a really big thing for the game that players like that have come in with some really good plans on how to knock players over and how to defend at times as well. So, they're two great examples of players that have come in, really hit the ground running shown that ability to cope with, you know, the differing demands of the game. And they'll come into our squad and add plenty. I think it is an exciting next couple of years. I think we're playing a lot of cricket in the next 2 years. We obviously have this big tournament a year out from the World Cup there, so it's a great opportunity. That was something the selectors really wanted to explore, was exposing some of these younger players to the conditions that we're likely to face in a year's time.
Absolutely. And so another exciting storyline is that Taylor Vlemmick is coming back from that, or she's come back from that awful foot injury. So we've seen her in the WNCL. How will she be managed over in New Zealand? Is she still working her way back to full fitness?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that injury that she had was a really high risk injury. So it's been cautious for a reason. We see her as a long-term player for Australia. She is frustrated by it. She hates it. She wants to play every game that she can, but it's holding her back is the difficult thing. She doesn't do anything less than 100%. So we've got to really look after her. And there's a lot of collaboration between us and the Victorian hierarchy down there about how best to manage her. And it is just, it's being really smart. I think in New Zealand, we'll look to play her probably three or four of the games rather than the whole six. And that's why we've got a good list of bowlers there that can come in and out of that team. But she's done all the right things. She's trained her backside off. It was so great to see her out there. She was so excited the other day, taking those four wickets. And, you know, you couldn't punch the smile off her face at the end of the day. So I did speak to her after that, and I just said, I'm pretty excited. I imagine you are delirious. And she confirmed that she was beside herself with excitement. So that's great story. She's been so frustrated. She's had a few, you know, false starts, I guess, on the way back, but fingers crossed we can look after her for the next couple of years.
Yeah, she seemed absolutely stoked last week. And you said in the past you guys don't just hand out Aussie caps, but could we expect to see Darcy or Hannah make a debut over in New Zealand?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, they've been picked for a reason to play over there. And, you know, as you said, LJ, we don't hand out caps, but their performances alone warrant chat at the selection table. And as we said, we're going to have to be versatile with a couple of our bowlers anyway, with the way that the program looks. So, no one's got a crystal ball to see what that looks like, but they're definitely in the mix. I think Hannah's probably more in the T20 reckoning, and Darcy is probably more in the one day at this stage. So, there'll be some tough decisions over there. I was looking at our first 11 the other day, and it's going to be a couple of disappointed people that miss out. So, we just go with what we can when we get over there. We've got obviously a bit of quarantine before we get there, so there's a fair bit of time before that first game. So hopefully we've got everyone available and we've got some really tough decisions to make.
And you've got a real core group of the Australian contracted players who have been mainstays in the squad for a while now. Are they good at welcoming in these new players and taking them under their wing?
Yeah, I think so. I think one thing we've always said is that we don't look at the birth certificate, and I think that's really important. On the other end of the scale, I think Rachel Haynes is playing as good a cricket as she's ever played, and she's performing well off the track as well. Some of her performances in the fitness side of things have been incredible. So, but the young players coming in always add that little bit of a spark. When someone makes a debut, it's a great day because all the players can remember what that feeling was like for them. So definitely make them, make them welcome. They'll come in and obviously try and articulate what our values mean to them in particular. And from there, it's when the opportunity comes, I think everyone will be really excited for it.
Yeah, so we know how much depth there is in Australian cricket at the moment. So just from your perspective, from a selector's perspective, how difficult is it to narrow down a squad of 17 players, and what are the key things you think about, and what do you really need to get right?
Yeah, good question. I think the 17-player squad is very different. It's, traditionally you'd probably take 14 to New Zealand maximum, but with COVID and all the regulations around that, we do look for an extended squad. So with those players, you sort of got a free hit to maybe give some players there that might have missed out an opportunity to show what they've got. So it's a little bit different than picking your normal squad, and certainly picking a World Cup squad. But having had this World Cup put back a year has pros and cons. And one of the pros of it is it does give us an extra opportunity to look at some of the players that we think might work over there. And definitely we think in that time of the year that pace could be a bit of a factor over there, and getting some of these players' exposures at the venues that we're likely to play at is a golden opportunity that the selectors were keen to take up.
And are there any players who you think were particularly unlucky to have missed out on this squad?
Yeah, I think there's always in that squad, there's three or four that are on standby there, that, you know, Yastranos and Burns that have been there and done a good job, but are unlucky that they've got some world-class spinners in front of them. I think Elise Villani's form's been exciting and something that we've hoped for a while. And I see, I'm just watching her at the moment, she's 50-plus not out and going well. So, you know, she's doing the right thing. She's responded in the right fashion. So she continues to do that, she'll be close again in the future as well.
Yeah, there's been so much chat about the young guns coming through in the WBBL, but as you mentioned, with people like Elise Villani, we've seen some really strong performances in the WNCL the last few weeks. Is it fair to say that you think you've been favouring youth versus experience in recent times and with this squad as well?
Yeah, no, not really. I think, you know, Elise would, by her own admission, her performance for Australia in the last couple of years wasn't enough to keep her in the team. And so that therefore she forfeited that spot. She's got an opportunity to work back. She's, as we've said with Rachel Haynes over the last couple of years, if you're scoring runs and there's a spot, then we'll pick you. It's certainly not a youth policy by any means. We'll pick whoever, and you know, some of our best performers have been our most senior players. Delisa Kim has done a fantastic job for us over the last couple of years. So it's all about performance, really, and how you fit into the team roles, and whether there's an opportunity. And that's the hardest thing, I think. From Villani's point of view, she's got a number of world class players in front of her, but you know, someone just needs to break a finger or you miss a few games, and an opportunity can open up.
And you mentioned the World Cup in New Zealand in a year's time and how important this tour will be. Are there any players who you're really looking forward to seeing in New Zealand conditions and learning a bit about?
I think all the fast bowlers that we've already mentioned, that's sort of our big goal, end goal, is to try and rebrand our bowling attack. I think we've been a very adaptable bowling attack over the last couple of years, but we want to be a forceful attack, and we've got some really good pace options coming, and there's a lot behind them as well. If you look Stella Campbell and Lauren Cheadle and players like that that have started to really show what they've got. So we just see there's a real opportunity in the next couple of years for our pace attack to get that real edge and a point of difference from all the other attacks in the world. I think it's been well documented our spin attack's as good as any probably that's ever played the game. So we've got versatility there. Our batters haven't really changed a lot in the last couple of years and have performed extremely well. So probably that next crop of pace bowlers is what we're most excited about.
Yeah, I'm sure the fans will be just as excited. It's going to be great viewing. And so, Motty, as we know, it's not as simple as it used to be heading overseas on a cricket tour these days. So when do you jet off, and how are you and the girls feeling about the prospect of quarantining again in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think we head off March 12th now. The date's changed a few times, but we'll have to do 2 weeks quarantine over there, which we've been in touch with the men's group over there. We've got some staff members over there at the moment in Lucy and Pete. So they've been great intel on what it looks like. They said the conditions were outstanding over there. The first 3 days will be a proper lockdown. No seeing other people. They said the food's been magnificent. And for those who know Pete, he's a harsh critic on his food. So and he's given it the thumbs up, so it must be pretty good. After that, we'll be able to get out to train, I think about 3 to 4 hours a day, so every day for the remainder of that 14-day period. And I think that's been quite comfortable. Players have got down there, and even on non-training days, maybe just had a run around and get some fresh air. So all in all, I think it's not ideal, but it's as good as it can be given the conditions.
And there's so much coming up for Australia with India coming next summer, Home Ashes, then the World Cup, Com games. How much planning is already going on for all of those things, even though they're a while off?
Yeah, a lot actually. One of the benefits of all the things that have been cancelled, we've had a lot of time to plan. So nothing's going to surprise us now. We've had a lot of time to sit down and workshop through a number of different scenarios. But huge diversity in the range of competitions that we're playing in as well. So we're going to have to draw on all our resources and keep our players fit. Manage them well, I think, throughout that period, because there's a lot of time away from home as well.
And on that, I think the last time we spoke to you about this, you were contracted until the end of the World Cup when it was due to be held in 2021. Where are you at with that stuff now?
Still there, unfortunately. So we'll probably sit down I've been in contact with Ben Oliver quite a bit of late. There's obviously been a lot going on, and To be honest, probably more important matters, but we'll probably run that through and then discuss that in the coming months when there's a bit more clean air after this series. So, yeah, I'm very keen to keep going. I'm enjoying it immensely and obviously keen to get back out there playing rather than planning. But, yeah, just can't wait to get over New Zealand and do well there and then hopefully plot out the next couple of years for everyone.
Good to hear. And, Muddy, we've spoken about the depth in Australian cricket. Sean Flegler spoke to LJ recently about a potential training camp that we might see some Australia versus Australia A action, which would be very exciting. How important is it for you to provide opportunities for those players who are sort of on the fringe with those opportunities to play against the Aussie team, especially because there were no A tours last year?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic concept. We've obviously talked about that quite a bit. And in terms of bang for your buck in this climate at the moment, economic climate, it is a really great opportunity. As I just said, close run out chance there for Vellani. But yeah, so we might have put the kiss of death on it there. But yeah, I think it's a great concept at the best of times. But in the current environment, I think it's a perfect opportunity to get all the best players. We've just talked about how much cricket is going to be over the next couple of years. Gives everyone, almost a like-for-like opportunity to show what they've got against the best of the best. So, I'm really excited about that. I think those games would be brilliant. The time of the year would be perfect. Good conditions up here in Queensland in the wintertime. So that's something to really look forward to.
100%. Should be an exciting winter followed by an exciting summer. Well, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of The Scoop, Muddy. Great to get an insight into how you've built the squad. And, yeah, we can't wait to watch it all unfold.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Healy's away. Australia are away. Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry. The Australian...